This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior. Our website is ccc.qbook.tv, where you can find other audio and video episodes with photos, links, and information related to today's conversation. Subscribe to leave comments and access research episodes with applied topics and research reports. Welcome to another episode of Talk of Asian Marketing. And we have a really special opportunity today because we have a return guest, Joe Cooperman. How you doing, Joe?
I'm very good. Thank you, Clyde.
And listeners may remember show 42, Getting Hitched Chinese Style. Remember that show?
I do remember it well. I do remember it.
And in that show, we talked about getting married in a Chinese cultural setting, specifically in Taiwan, all the ceremonies related to that. But specifically, we were kind of focusing that time on the photograph stuff and all the retailing and marketing and all the money and the products around it with that. And that was a really interesting episode. Now we're going to move into the next step, the step after getting married and buying all the photos, and that is the baby step.
Right.
And congratulations, right, Joe, because you have obtained this step.
I have obtained this step. I have moved to the next level.
You are now a Jedi master.
Of domestication. And so we had a baby. My wife and I had a baby boy. He was born on the 7th of July. His English name is Samuel Asher Cooperman. That's his full name. And his Chinese name is, if I can get it right, is Ai Xu. And and of course, like everything in Chinese, it's difficult for me to communicate exactly which characters are being used for his name, but that's his Chinese name, and so we've reached that new level of domestication as far as life in Taiwan and having a baby is concerned. So
let me jump on this and then give a little bit of a background, a little bit of my experience, and then we can compare notes, Joe, because I think this is really the key. What we're looking at is a kind of shift to a consumption society, specifically in this case, service orientation within right now what we're talking about within Taiwan, but it really unique the way that it combines a very local kind of practice so that you have a local service that in some ways reflects a service emphasis that's been imported and adopted from the West over the years, but at the same time is something completely different and related to, in some ways, to its roots, which I can talk about because my wife had two children in Taiwan. That was in the early and mid-early 90s. And at that time, things were fairly straightforward. Of course, we had a national health system developing. It's not what it is today, which is, as some people may know, Taiwan's national health system is actually used as a model example. Back in the early 90s, it was just beginning to develop. We did have insurance. And what that would do is, if you were going to have a child, number one is you get off from work. You get a vacation period from work no matter what. And it's a minimum of a month. And this month, of course, is related to this magical idea that women, when they give birth in China, have a month recovery time, and that's called
Zuoyezi,
and that sitting for a month, basically. And it's not seen as a kind of optional thing. It's actually tied into, like a lot of beliefs in Chinese culture, to a kind of Taoism that links into your diet, that links into your behavior, your health, the people that interact with you. So it's not just like, well, you get a month off to do whatever you want. No, it's a month where you have to do certain things. You have to eat certain foods. You have to have certain people come and visit you and take care of the baby, etc. It's a very established thing. And this is nothing new. This is ancient. And I hate to throw around words like a long time ago, because when my kids say a long time ago, I say, what do you mean? They say 1990, and I'm like, joking. This is really this is really an old tradition going back thousands of years. So that being brought up now. When my wife gave birth, you get time off from work, that's for sure. In most Chinese settings, you do get that time off. That's guaranteed. Then in the hospital, what we had was we were in Taichung Hospital, central Taiwan area, a local hospital, not a foreign or special hospital. And my wife would give birth, and she stayed in the hospital for at least a week, I think. And we had a lot of really good experience there compared to the U.S. where we had our first child, which was basically give birth, next day, you're out. You're heading home.
And they're trying to get you out as quickly as possible.
Totally as fast as possible. Now, that was the service, very, very minimal and shockingly minimal. And you get out, the retail associated with that is you would get a bunch of sample products, diapers and soap and baby food. And these were from companies like Procter & Gamble. And you were expected to take those free samples and maybe you would follow up and buy from the company. And that was about the limit of it. I think these days maybe they'll also push a car seat on you since you can't leave the hospital without a baby seat, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
But in Taiwan, at that time when we gave birth, there was almost the same thing, only it was much more flexible. You stay there for a longer period of time. The nurses, and they had a lot of training nurses there, young women, they were very involved, very, very friendly. And I think a lot of people I talked to have a similar experience. The whole thing about children in the Chinese setting, I mean, every culture values their children. There's no doubt about that. But there's something a little bit different in a Chinese setting where people just really dote on children. They just love them no matter what, especially babies.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you wouldn't want to say there's a culture where they don't do that, but I think in Taiwan, China, it's really strong.
And I think there's a certain tolerance that I've noticed being a new father and certainly talking to my other friends who've had babies as well. My brother who lives in Beijing, my younger brother lives in Beijing. He's a teacher in Beijing. And he tells me a story that's very interesting, which is that he had a baby. His baby is eight and a half, 9 months old now. He tells me when he goes to restaurants in Beijing, his kid could be sitting beside them and crying or making lots of noise and screaming. At about seven months of age, babies really start to vocalize. They start to make a high-pitched squeal. And it can be very, if you're in an enclosed space, it can be very disturbing for other customers and patrons. But my brother tells me that in Beijing, people don't even bat an eyelash. And why? Because everybody's got their kids with them. Every kid is squealing. Every kid's making a noise. I think it's considered in Chinese culture almost like a kind of a lucky thing to bring your kids with you. Even if it may not necessarily be convenient for other people. However, my brother, when he compares bringing his child to Western countries and how we as Westerners, in this case I'm saying Canadians and Americans, I mean, when you go to Canada and America, like let's, for example, on an airplane, you know, if you have an airplane filled with Americans and Canadians, Westerners in general, and there's a baby crying, you know, you get a lot of like intolerant people turning around and tisk, tisk, tisking you. I can't believe they brought a baby on this flight. Oh, what a bunch. I'm so inconvenienced. And you go to American restaurants and Canadian restaurants, you definitely get that. I think there's less of a tolerance for babies in public and babies in situations that should be, you know, are often considered quiet, should be quiet situations like restaurant environments. Whereas again, and we've used this before in previous podcasts, this idea of the renao culture, that hot and busy culture. I think babies in a lot of ways are an extension of that. When you take babies out in public, they're very, very openly accepted in Chinese culture. And as you just said, they really dote on them. I mean, every time we take our baby out, in his stroller out to stores public venues and stuff. I mean, he's swarmed by people. That's very common in Chinese cultures, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And you're linking it to the Zonao's interesting analogy. And I agree with that. So back then, you know, in general, having children, I think, is pleasurable. As you say, the whole situation is conducive to it. Now, in our case, you know, we take the baby home and we go back to the mother-in-law or the wife's mother and they, you know, we have people helping out and things like that. And that's kind of the end of the story. Now, today, though, we have a very different situation, and that is probably in the late 90s, they begin a big commercialization or retail or some opportunities for some companies growing in this space where, you know, you don't have so many family members anymore. Families are not so large. You don't really have the time to take off to go take care of your sister or to be with your sister-in-law or something like this, where people are separated from their families. And so when they have a baby, they don't have the families there. And so, Joe, you've kind of had your baby in this new environment, this new retail kind of business offerings. Tell us some of the offers that came up and what you took advantage of.
Okay, well, we I think did some investigation into this new system. I think for, I guess you could call it a postnatal care facility. So this system that you're mentioning is the, I think there's been a definite shift, with the zuoyezi, which is the sitting for a month. I think a lot of, couples, a lot of families are choosing not to do it in the traditional context that you mentioned, whereas you go back to your home, or in fact, you might go to the home of your mother, your wife's mother, and she may convalesce for that month, being fed and taken care of by your mother-in-law. Now I think what's happened is it's shifted, to these postnatal care facilities. In our case, we did a lot of research beforehand in Taichung, to make a decision about where we wanted to go. We knew that we wanted to go to a post care facility, and, we knew that we could spend up to a month. Or I should say we had enough money. We budgeted enough money to spend up to a month in this facility, a full month. My wife, being Taiwanese, knew that she wanted to commit to the full zuoyezi. Now because she works for the government, she gets 2 months of maternity leave, which is like a pretty generous and I don't know how standard it is in Taiwan these days. I think most people probably get a month. She gets about 2 months. So we knew that we had this amount of time, and she knew that she wanted to convalesce for that 1 month. We looked around at a variety of different facilities, and like many of these kinds of things, these kinds of retail service oriented opportunities in Taiwan, you know, they're not all created equal, and there's definitely different levels of service. The very basic level of service, I think, is that you check yourself into an environment that's like a hotel. There's lots and lots of other women convalescing at the same time in this hotel environment. They are essentially, I think a lot of these care facilities now are sort of attached to a kind of OBGYN clinic. So there might be doctors, OBG doctors and gynecologists who are associated with these postnatal care facilities. And I think what they do is they you essentially check yourself in, and they take care of you for a month. You choose a variety of different room styles. Each care facility will have different levels of rooms, much like a hotel.
Well, since you want to do this not too far away from home, I would imagine there's a limited number of companies offering this. How many did you look into?
I think we looked at about five.
Wow. There were just five in your area.
And this is before, this was months and months before. So this was probably when my wife was about 4-5 months pregnant. We started to really pound the pavement and look at these different facilities. And we had, of course, been recommended several facilities by foreigner friends of mine. I have, as it turns out, lots of foreigner friends who are who themselves have had children in the last year, the last 2 years, and they recommended different facilities. I mean, and that's part of, I think, the process of having a baby is that, you know, as you go through when you get pregnant and then you and you start to make the decisions that you need to make about the delivery and the hospital care that you want and the postnatal care that you want, you really rely on your friends and family to give you advice. And so we were inundated with lots of people who were like, oh, you've got to go over here. You know, this facility on Gung Yi Lu is great. Oh, you should go over here. This is great. So, I mean, we took all that advice and we went and physically checked each of the facilities. And we did find, of course, as I mentioned, that they're really not all of them are created equal. The ways that they differ are, I think kind of, there's a lot of them sort of in the middle, in a sort of middle category and price range. And they offer very good services, and it's a very good facility. I'll try to delineate a little bit about what made our ultimate choice for us.
Yeah, what are some of the actual points that you kind of make your judgment on?
Most of the facilities that we went into offered this kind of basic package, which was 1 month, and it's in a room of your choice. And as I mentioned, there's different levels of room, just like in a hotel. And the rooms are all equipped, generally speaking, I think, at every facility that we went to, with a double bed or a queen size bed, and a television, some sort of CD player or radio. The rooms are well air conditioned. The rooms are all very clean. The rooms are very hygienic and easy to keep clean. The rooms all have a small refrigerator. And the rooms generally have a kind of view of the city. They're all tend to be on, maybe the seventh, eighth, or I should not the eighth, but, well, the seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth floors. They're all kind of like these in these medium sized buildings, and they all offer that. So the rooms are generally pretty similar. Then the rooms and the facilities are all themselves populated by nurses, and they're all OBGYN nurses who have lots and lots of training. And there tends to be a kind of central command center, much as you would find in the OBG unit of any given hospital. There's sort of a nurse's station, and then there's a facility, and then there's kind of like what I would describe as a clean room, where the babies kind of tend to reside. Now,
clean room sounds like an IC fab plan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's literally a room where only the nurses are allowed into, and the doctors. And it's a room that the mothers and nobody else are allowed into. So the babies are all kept in these in this kind of clean room, and the room are lined up with these little bassinets where the babies are. And when you get your Zuoyedzi package, you get your room. You get three meals a day, and the meals, as you mentioned earlier, are very important. You can choose from a variety of different menus, and the catering company comes in and delivers the meals to you every day. So you get like these three large meals a day, and most of the meals that were offered to us are, and certainly the meals we ended up accepting, we're like, you know, your wife, the woman would never be able to finish, you know, the food. So there's always more than enough food to go around. And then there's usually a Chinese medicine doctor, Chinese medical doctor, who consults with every woman. So that you'll meet at the beginning of your stay, you'll meet with the Chinese medical doctor, and that person will generally make certain recommendations about what kinds of herbal medicine you should be consuming. It seems to me that most women who are sitting Zuoyedzi are eating their kind of like normal sort of food, their recovery food, which consists of very similar food to what most Taiwanese people eat on a day-to-day basis, but probably more healthy, more vegetables, less fried foods, slightly less meat, more vegetables and fruits. But then the doctor will consult on the Chinese medicine. And so generally speaking, every day the woman will, and my wife certainly did this every day and is still doing this actually, will consume a kind of concoction of Chinese herbs and chicken or pork or beef, and vegetables. And that's a very important part of the recovery process, or what I think most Taiwanese people believe to be a very healthy way to recover from the trauma of pregnancy. And whether or not you've had an easy pregnancy, or whether you've had a very hard delivery, I think all women go through this process.
Yeah, that's a great point. We have two shows on TCM, show 39 and 40. And what's surprising is just how much TCM, rather than fading away, has come back and now even gets integrated into these new commercial offerings. In other words, someone has come up with these ideas, these which obviously make a profit, these ideas, and offer them to consumers. But then consumers slide right in as long as those offerings kind of fit with the whole context. And in this case, you're saying it's even a marketing point that you have a TCM doctor on call, that he comes in and makes these prescriptions, and you even follow up after you've left, you're still consuming these TCM prescriptions.
Absolutely. And my wife and our baby's almost 2 months old, is still every day consuming this traditional Chinese medical prescription. And I find what's even more interesting, I think, is that I would say my wife does not subscribe to Chinese medicine with any regularity at all. If she is inclined to go to a doctor for anything, whether it be a cold or an injury, she'll go to an AMA doctor, an American style. I don't want to say American style, but a Western doctor,
yeah,
in Taiwan.
Western,
yeah, absolutely. Medicine. However, this one part, the Zuoyedze, she has, she's very much bought into the using traditional Chinese medicine as an additional mode to help her recover from her pregnancy. And I have to say, I mean, you know, I have no basis for comparison in that this is our first baby, but I have to say that she's recovered very, very well and very nicely, and she's really, you know, almost 100% back to normal. She's 1 kilo over her original pre-pregnancy weight. And I've got to say, whether or not that's been a combination of her own metabolism and the, you know, and the excellent care that we received by the Western medicine, or a combination of the Chinese medicine and her own sort of personal health, it's hard to say, and it's hard to make that delineation. But I have to say, I mean, she's recovered what I would say is very, very quickly from having the baby. So, and of course, I want to say that, you know, most women, and certainly most women in Taiwan and most women in the world, want to get back to their original weight. They want to lose that any additional fat that they picked up over the course of their pregnancy. Women tend to want to shed that as quickly as possible. And my impression is that, and the way that I've heard it spoken about by a lot of women, is that like the Chinese medicine helps them shed that extra fat and get back to their pre-birth weight as quickly as possible.
Yeah, well, this is a good point. I think this is something we're always hitting on this show. If you were to go out and give a survey, and you were to ask consumers, women, you know, do you prefer Western medicine or Chinese medicine? You may end up getting an answer that doesn't fit actual behavior. Because when it comes down to behavior, you need to be very, very specific. And in this specific case of someone giving birth, there's always that idea in the back of someone's mind that, what if I don't do that? You see, what if I don't do that? What if I didn't do that? What are the consequences? I wouldn't lose the weight, or I have some medical thing. And then later, years later, you look back and say, all I had to do was follow the traditional way, it would have worked out. And so I think this is really key, that you need to be down at that kind of human level to understand the context, and then people's behavior falls into. And your wife's a good example, where normally she would go to a Western doctor. There's not a huge bias there towards a TCM treatment. But then when it comes to this, well, it just all falls in place. What I'm really interested in is how the firm offering this just fits it all in there, and that works as a whole package.
Absolutely, and there's no question that it's integrated. Now I will say the hospital, the postnatal care facility we ended up choosing is China Medical, was the China Medical Post-Care Center. And I have to say that, you know, for those of you listening out there, you know, of course, that China Medical Hospital is probably considered to be the maybe best, private hospital in Taichung, but also it's partially because it's also a teaching hospital. So it has it's a Western hospital, but also has a significant portion of itself devoted to Chinese medicine. So it's not only a teaching hospital from Western medicine, but it's also a teaching hospital for traditional Chinese medicine as well. So we did choose a care facility that is not only known for, maybe the best Western medical care in the city of Taichung, but also has the best traditional Chinese medical care that's available as well. So we did move from that hospital to its own care facility, partially because I think that we knew that the Chinese medical care the traditional Chinese medical care that we would get would also be of a very high standard as well. So it was, the Chinese medical care was integrated very seamlessly into the care that we got. The Western care that we got as well. But with that having been said, I think you'll also find that at every care facility. Every care facility is very, very careful to acknowledge and integrate traditional Chinese medicine into the way that women recover from labor here. It's a really big part. And as I said, my wife, 364 days of the year might not subscribe to any traditional Chinese medical treatment, but for this one area of our lives, postnatal recovery, she very, very much wanted that to be a part of her experience.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Tell us tell us a little bit then about, as you wrapped up the experience and maybe a little bit about the bill you had to pay, and then your post-consumption cognitive situation.
Yeah, I mean, it was there was no question, and the care center that we ended up choosing, which was attached to China Medical, I want to say that it was significantly more expensive than the other care facilities that we investigated. It's one of those places. I mean, it's like walking into it's like walking into a 3-star hotel and then walking into a 5-star hotel. The difference in quality was just very significant. We visited a lot of care facilities, and they tended to be kind of crowded, not overcrowded, but crowded. There were a lot of women who were there, and as we walked around, I mean, my wife would speak to the women who were kind of, shuffling around from their room to the lobby or whatever, in their pajamas. All the women are walking around in kind of hospital gowns and pajamas. And all the women, universally, at every care center we visited, said that they would say, "Butsuo." They said that the care that they were getting was great. And they were very happy with their care. That was universally. And that was unprompted conversations that my wife had with women randomly. So there was no coaching. These women all were happy with the care that they were getting. The one clincher for us was the care facility the China Medical Care Facility that we chose. The one clincher for us was a kind of simple one, but a major one. And it's the following. At all of these care centers, when you go in, you have to make a decision. And all women are encouraged to breastfeed from, 9 o'clock day one, from the moment the baby the baby comes out to immediately. All hospitals will encourage women to start breastfeeding. And when you go to the, when you after 3 or 4 days in the hospital, you're released and they check you, and if you go to these care facilities, the care facilities will encourage you to continue breastfeeding and provide a whole variety of support to help facilitate and encourage breastfeeding. But I gotta say that most of these care facilities, because you have to breastfeed every 2 hours, the baby's hungry every 2 hours, you've got to breastfeed. Usually these care facilities will do one of two things. The baby either stays with you in your room 24 hours a day so that you can breastfeed, or you must choose to essentially give up custody of the baby, and the baby will live for the duration of your dwoyedza inside the clean room. And if you want to breastfeed the baby, you have to go into a kind of like airlock intermediary room, which is also a clean room, where they bring the baby to you. You sit, you breastfeed, then you give up custody of the baby. The baby goes back into the clean room, and then you go back to your room. All of the care facilities that we investigated you had to make that decision in the beginning. Now, as new parents, it's a very, I found it to be very uncomfortable, because we, of course, wanted to be with our baby as much as was humanly possible and be able to breastfeed. But at the same time, we wanted, what's very important is we wanted to benefit from the facility by being able to, get some sleep. And especially my wife needed to get some sleep and needed to get some recovery time. And with the baby feeding every 2 hours, that's a very difficult thing to do. If the baby's got to stay with you 24 hours a day and no one else is taking care of the baby, you don't get any sleep. And all the new parents out there, you know, that are out there listening, you know what I'm talking about, because in the first couple of months, it's the baby's up, the baby's crying, the baby's schedule is totally reversed from yours in that the baby's up all night and sleeping all day. So it's very, very difficult to get quality sleep and quality recovery time. However, the facility that we chose, the China Medical Facility, the great thing about their care was that you could give up the baby, you could give up custody of the baby, or get the baby delivered to you, essentially, to your room, 24 hours a day, no problem. So there was no limitation on how much you could see the baby and on how much you could get the nurses to take care of the baby.
Yeah, now this is not really anything new. This is exactly the way when we had our babies that it happened, that you were in a room, they would take the children to be in the nursing room, basically. And from there, you could look through the glass if you wanted to, but you couldn't enter. If you want to get the baby, you have to tell them beforehand and they get it ready. Although it could be any time of day or night, they would do that. So these concepts were always there. And also, I think something some foreigners get hard to adjust to, because you do leave the hospital in the West usually very quickly. Here, there is that emphasis that keeping the baby away is A-okay. And they also do things like wrap the babies up very tightly. They have all these different traditions that to foreigners seem very odd. But I really like how they've just worked these into that new offering. And then you pay for that package, and you're not really getting anything super different than before. But the way they package it and make it easy for you, this is very interesting. And I just looked up on China Medical's website. They call this Nursing Care Center.
The nursing care center,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, really neat. So, Joe, what about the, overall, you don't have to give us an exact number, but what's the range of price that you saw? And then as you walk away from it, then what's your satisfaction level?
Oh, well, I mean, according to it's one of these things that the care center that we chose was significantly more than the other care centers that we chose. So we really, I mean, since I've mentioned it, I'll say it again. The China Medical Nursing Care Center, or postnatal care facility, was, in terms of quality, in the way that I might measure a hotel, you know, I would say like that was like 4-star, 5-star treatment. I mean, it really was. Whereas most of the other care centers that we saw were like maybe 3.5 stars. In terms of the room quality, in terms of the food, everything that we received at the China Medical Care Facility was like, you know, 4.5, 5-star treatment. It was unbelievable. I was so blown away by the treatment that we got and the quality of care that we got that, I mean, it got to a point where we were like, hey, when the baby's 5 months old, maybe we can check ourselves back into the care center and have a little, have a little rest, because we were so happy. Similar to what one might expect from a hotel, a lot of it is personal service. The service that we got from the nurses, all of the nurses at the care center were young. They were all like in their 20s. They were all very, very experienced OBG nurses. And they were available round the clock, 24 hours a day, whether it was 12 in the afternoon or 4 o'clock in the morning. There were lots of nurses on staff. The facility itself always seemed as if it was underpopulated. So it was very, very quiet. However, as I came to realize, it was actually full up. There were actually women in every room, but the quality of the care and the design of the facility was such that it was very, very quiet. Whereas a lot of the other care facilities that we visited were very, very noisy. There were lots of families were there. They were designed in such a way as there were families all over the place. There were lots of kids running around, which is okay. But when you want to recover and get sleep, you want to be in a very quiet facility. And the one we chose was very, very quiet. The nursing care was great. The food care was great. The hygiene standards were fantastic. The decor was tremendous. It was all very, very good. And my level of satisfaction was like 100% happy with the service that we got. Even though, as I mentioned, it was a lot more expensive. I have no problems with the money that we paid. I was 100% satisfied, and so was my wife. We walked out of there feeling fantastic. And I want to say also, besides the fact that you get this great care, you also are taught a lot. As new parents, these nurses spent a lot of time teaching us about bathing the baby, about different diapers, about different formula opportunities, about breastfeeding techniques. And they schedule classes for the new mothers on a regular daily basis. So these women are learning, these new mothers are learning as much as they can while they're in the facility as well.
Interesting. So you've avoided the question. What's a price range?
Oh, we paid 65,000 NT for slightly more than 2 weeks. That's what it was. 65,000 for slightly more than 2 weeks. So if we had paid that price at another care center, we would have gotten the full month.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So by moving up to a 4.5, 5-star facility, you're paying an extra, you know, it's like double.
So did you stay for the whole month? So you paid for?
We didn't. Mm-hmm. We didn't. Yeah. We didn't. We would have liked to, but we just didn't budget for it. It was just going to be the additional 60,000 or whatever for the additional 2 weeks was a little bit outside our budget, unfortunately.
Gotcha.
But we would have liked to. Had we had the money, we would have absolutely stayed.
So that's a little bit, just for context, that's probably a little bit under $2,000 for 2 weeks, about $1,000 a week, and this would be the high end. And included in that, Joe, is food, the medical treatment, everything, or are those separate bills?
Food, medical treatment, consultation. Oh, and I want to mention also, our baby was – there was a pediatrician who looked at our baby every day. Every day, a pediatrician from China Medical would come in and look at all of the babies once a day. So that, I mean, as a new father, as a new mother, that's a tremendous amount of anxiety relief. That you can be in the facility and that you can have nurses. So essentially, we were being consulted on a regular basis by a pediatrician, by OBGYN nurses 24 hours a day, and by traditional Chinese medical doctor once a week. So, I mean, it was a great feeling to go from delivery into the hospital and then directly into the care center. It was very, it was a big relief for us, I think.
Yeah, excellent. Well, that's a great summary from firsthand experience of some up-to-date service. And like I say, the biggest thing I take away from that is that kind of integration. Also, you know, a lot of people who don't visit Asia very much or maybe have just been to a couple places in China where the medical service situation is still working itself out just don't realize how advanced some of these Asian countries are, especially like Taiwan and Korea, where you just have a really advanced medical foundation. And now what's left is competing for that extra market. And I'm going to link to a research paper done locally that looks at this and comes up with the conclusions that, you know, the market's very competitive. So everyone works to come up with new services that customers are willing to pay for. And at the same time, it's important that it links in with traditional ideas. And Chinese TCM, traditional Chinese medical treatment, is one of the ways that you can really pull customers in and charge them for it, but also create that satisfaction level. So very interesting. I wish they had had something like this years ago. But again, I'm not disappointed because what we had was somewhat like that, only you've gotten the deluxe.
the deluxe version, right. And I want to say again, just very quickly, that, you know, the quality, as a Canadian, I'm also from a country that has national healthcare. And I want to say, you know, I'm always making comparisons between my experience of living in Canada under national healthcare and living in Taiwan. And I have to say, in very many ways, the system that they have generated in Taiwan is even better in certain segments than the Canadian system. As you mentioned, the level of competition in Taiwan is very between medical between clinics and between the different areas of medicine is such that it's able to create constantly be generating new services. And that's very obvious. I mean, there's so many different things that are covered under the Taiwanese Medicare system, and it's just tremendous. And I want to say that from the seamless integration from the medical care that we received from the Zhenbao, from the what was covered under the Taiwanese Medicare system, the seamless integration from that, from the fact that we didn't pay for anything, the fact that our delivery and the medicine that we received and our time in the hospital was almost entirely covered by the Zhenbao. The seamless integration from that into the what is essentially a private Medicare facility, nursing care facility, that was seamless as well. I mean, it all seemed as if it was part of one big system, and that was a tremendous relief for us as well. I mean, we literally went from China Medicare, from the China Medical Hospital into its care facility. And it was one long line of quality care that we received.
Neat. So that's neat. That is a good point, the way that integrates. Yeah. Of course, the Zhenbao being the local national insurance policy. And we'll probably do a whole show on that sometime, because I've got some consumer cam video of going to the hospital, waiting in line, going and getting treatment. And it's all a hot topic back in the U.S., of course, where they can never seem to get their heads around this idea that other countries have already solved this problem.
Yeah, and Taiwan's as a foreigner who's lived in Taiwan for a long time, I think Taiwanese people can be very, very, very proud of its national health care. Very, very proud. And I think especially when you compare it against other countries, the Taiwanese system is absolutely fantastic. And having gone through this whole process with my wife and having a baby, and the continued quality care that we get through pediatricians that we see even after we're out of the care facility has been absolutely tremendous. So we're very happy to be in Taiwan and have had our baby in Taiwan.
Excellent. Well, congratulations again, Joe, and thanks for sharing with us this experience. Of course, what I take away from this is that you did get the high end, but you're satisfied with what you got, and it was really good to hear those details. I'm too old to have another another baby. But yeah, what our business listeners can take away is integrate. You know, integrate at the local level and be really careful of, you know, doing these general kind of surveys where you just drop in, parachute in. I call it parachute in and then get pulled out of a market. And you think you have answers just from asking somebody. You know, in Joe's case, the perfect situation is here is a wife who's going to have a baby. It's a certain age, a certain lifestyle, a certain point in the lifestyle, a life cycle. It's not just anyone at any time. If you ask a 20-year-old about this, you're going to get the wrong answer. You've got to really, really focus on that market segment, get the right people, and then understand the context and ask the right questions. And then you can come away understanding that market segment, create your product or shift your product. And when they say things like this, if you have no concept where they're coming from, you know, your company's basically in trouble. You're going to have to really get local. So great, Joe, congratulations again. And maybe we'll bring you back when you have the next cycle, the next stage, I guess, sending your kids to school or kindergarten.
Right. One step at a time, Clyde. But absolutely, I'll come back on the show and make another report.
Choosing a kindergarten, choosing a preschool.
Choosing a preschool, yeah, absolutely.
All right, Joe, see you later.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior. Our website is ccc.qbook.tv, where you can find other audio and video episodes with photos, links, and information related to today's conversation. Subscribe to leave comments and access research episodes with applied topics and research reports.